Money FM 89.3. Best of breakfast. Mind your business. Only on Money FM 89.3.
A very good morning to you. And guess what? ChatGPT is making the headlines again.
Yeah, this is with a recent job advertisement from a Tokyo-based fintech company. So guess what? If you're applying for a job there, one of the skills required is for you to be able to use AI tools like chatbots, like ChatGPT. Mm. I remember, when I first applied for jobs, some of the requirements would be like, you need to know Microsoft Word, how to use PowerPoint, Excel. I guess things are changing. You now need to know these things.
Indeed. And for those who have been following the news this week, there's now an upgraded version to the chatbot sensation, and it's called GPT-4, released just days ago.
That's right. So it's a bit of an upgrade. It's what's called multimodal. So multi, as you imagine, more than one form of input, not just text, but also images.
Interesting. OpenAI hasn't yet made the image description feature available to the public, but I'm sure everyone is looking forward to its public launch.
Yeah, so right now you have to pay to use that. You need to be in a closed community, a special guys, exclusive right now.
And I'm sure it's only the beginning to many more versions to come. It does make you wonder, what does this development mean for the future of generative AI? Let's explore that with Associate Professor Donnie So, Program Leader of Bachelor of Science, Applied Artificial Intelligence at the Singapore Institute of Technology. Welcome to the show, Professor.
Good morning, Lindley and Ryan.
Hey.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah. Great to have you on. Now let's start with the basics. Have you tried ChatGPT, especially version 4 yet?
Yes, I have. In fact, on the surface, they look very similar. Under the surface, though, there are a few differences. The first is that longer context. That means that GPT-4 is able to ingest and generate longer outputs. So the length is at least double as that as compared to the previous version. The second, as you mentioned, is the multimodal aspect, where it takes in not only text, but also images and videos as input. The videos and images, they are not out yet, but in the future, we can literally ask ChatGPT to describe a picture in 1,000 words.
What do you make of it? How would you rate it? And are there any limitations to this version?
The limitations are still very similar to that of the previous version. The difference is that they have improved on these limitations by quite a little bit. So, for example, there's a concept known as a hallucination. Ooh. And that means that the generated content is maybe nonsensical or untruth. So the danger comes when the content this generated is extremely convincing.
Yeah, so we asked ChatGPT a couple of questions for this interview about what some of these jobs that we talk about could be at risk. For example, how some of these human traits could be replaced. So it's come up with a list of 20 jobs that GPT-4 potentially displace. So I'm going to run through a couple of them and get your thoughts on what you think, whether you agree or disagree with what ChatGPT essentially is saying. So let's start first with some of the top jobs here on the list. And on first place is data entry clerk, which is where you've got speed and accuracy as one of the human traits being replaced.
Possible, yes. Mainly jobs that require a lot of rote, where there's a fixed technique to do it, those are at the high risk of being replaced. Yeah, right.
And then customer service representative, which is, of course, I imagine these call centers. I think you might be talking to a chatbot in time to come.
Yes and no. So there are already steps to use a lot of AI in terms of that. However, the studies have shown that they still prefer the human touch. So there will still be an element whereby a human person will be there as a front.
Okay, there's one that is bugging me a little bit. Copywriter. How can AI be as creative as human beings? Because it says you can replace us with its creativity and writing.
Yeah, that's a really good point. AI being itself, it isn't as a generative model. Generative meaning that traditionally, AI is used for prediction, predicting, for example, the weather, for example, whether there be a traffic jam or not. But now in generative form, it means that using the data that was being learned, it's going to create a new version based on what you ask. So as a copywriter, I think there'll be an aspect whereby you use AI as a tool, but you'll still be the person to make the edits. A way to think about it is that when we use Microsoft documents, we actually do the typing and then the Word does the spelling checks. In ChatGPT, the rules are reversed. They are the ones that do the writing, and we are the ones that do the spelling checks or the other so-called sanity checks along the way.
Yeah, Donnie, this really brings to mind that you have to keep upgrading your skills to figure out how to value add to what's already available out there. One of the jobs here I'm looking at is travel agent. And I know a lot of people are trying to find from ChatGPT, how do I plan my holiday to Japan? And it's able to give out all these suggestions for itineraries and whatnot, and sometimes even book your tickets. So for travel agents, what do you see as a risk here?
So travel agents will be, we'll talk about people that are the ones that plan your itineraries. So they are the ones that actually do the planning for you. And largely right now, over the last few years, right, many of these travel agents have already been augmented with so-called your other travel blogs or other content online. The difference right now is that ChatGPT able to generate the itinerary quite nicely for you. That is where the danger comes in. So there may be a chance of a replacement. However, having said that, you still need to book the ticket. You still need to book your hotel. So that's where the human person may come into play to add some value there.
Can you shed some light on this, the traits that this latest version can replace? Critical thinking and judgment. Can you shed some light on that?
Okay, there is one point that was raised out in their paper, which is called hindsight, meaning that if the AI were to make a wrong step, but to get a good decision. By right, as a human person, we say that that is not a good decision. But in ChatGPT-3, it doesn't do that. So for example, if the outcome is that if I spend $1 million on a certain 4D ticket, and I happen to just win it, so did I make the right decision or not? So by right, ChatGPT-3 would say that yes, because the outcome was a good outcome. However, GPT-4 will actually say no, that is actually not the right thing to do. Although the outcome was correct, but that was not the right thing to do. So that is the concept of hindsight. So ChatGPT-4 is able to get this hindsight.
Right, Donnie, let's go to another area in the space of copyright issues where, you know, some jobs require you to be creative. So when it comes to copyright, where does the AI fit into the equation? Because we've seen how it can generate new images, new graphics, new text. So in that sense, does the AI, in a sense, own the copyright? Can it be copyrighted?
That is an interesting point. It is still an ongoing discussion. So I think there was one article that came out a few months back where a lady tried to copyright his graphic novel. I think a US copyright office did not allow her to copyright the individual images. However, the entire so-called magazine could be copyrighted as a whole. The challenge came from office whereby although the author generated the images with AI, the inventive step that the author put into the images was not sufficient. I think that is still an ongoing conversation. And as a society, I think that's something that we'll try to figure out. But the more important thing, I think, for businesses in Singapore in particular is the concept of IP. Why? Because we are actually feeding in a lot of input into ChatGPT. That may result in leakage of information or so-called sensitive information. So, for example, if let's say you're a bank and maybe your role is to provide loans to companies. To do that, you need to write something called a credit paper. ChatGPT can easily generate out a decent credit paper for you. The concern is that you may be releasing information to ChatGPT about company information, financial health, financial spreads. So this may be a leak of sensitive company information to ChatGPT, which you will not like to be in the position of.
So we're hearing about all these GPT-4's enhanced capabilities. How do you think following versions, enhanced versions, will evolve?
So we are currently already in the multimodal model, which means that we are taking images. We are able to take in images in the future, and they're also looking in videos. There's one more very big limitation, which is data stops. The data that was being trained in, it stops in September 2021, which means that if you to ask who won the World Cup last year, it won't be able to tell you the answer. So I would believe that they'll be working on a model that's able to update itself over time. Meaning that there will be a time stop where the data is being trained onto and it will be continually updating itself over the next few time periods when new information is being being processed and coming into the model.
Yeah, I've got a few ideas. Maybe uploading audio or video files and can tell you whether a guy is lying or how he can improve his delivery. You know, that could be the next big thing. So we've been chatting with Associate Professor Donnie So, Program Leader of Bachelor of Science for Applied Artificial Intelligence at the Singapore Institute of Technology. Now, Donnie, a lot of talk has been also made around the space of education because a lot of students have been trying it out in their homework, exams, whether they can pass it. And of course, you would have seen the headlines recently that it did not manage to pass the PSLE. Is it because the PSLE is that tough when it could have passed? Know, things like the medical school exams at Stanford, the MBA course at Wharton, but not a PSLE.
As a parent, I've always suspected that PSLE was too hard. but I think, jokes aside, this is a good point. OpenAI, in fact, intentionally stated that they did not carry out any specific training to do well in the bar exams or all the other exams. And not only that, they only also stated that only a minority of the problems in these exams were present in the training data. So how did it perform so well? I believe it's a combination of a few factors. So although there were no specific data of the exams that were being used, right, the data sets used generally contained more information about those SATs or those other bar exams as compared to our PSLEs. So that's one of the key points. On another point, the test marks, right? The tests were also benchmarks which they'll be measured against. So they will know that ChatGPT will be measured against these benchmarks. Hence, I think it's reasonable that they would optimize a little bit more towards there. And I would also like to give an example. So let's say for me, if I were to go and take the Mandarin PSLE right now, I think I would do quite badly. However, it's not really an indication of capability, but it's more towards the exposure of training towards the tasks that it will undertake. So it's able to do certain tasks. It has the potential definitely to do well in that task, just that it wasn't trained specifically to do well in the PSLE.
Right. Recently, it caused panic in the education fraternity, right? Raising fears of cheating on homework. Given that these tools are likely to become pervasive over time, our education minister has also said the ministry is guiding teachers in schools and institutes of higher learning on how to use AI tools like ChatGPT to enhance learning. But as a parent yourself, what are your thoughts on this? And how does GPT-4 and maybe future enhanced versions, how do you think they will change the teaching system and perhaps the quality of education here?
Yeah, so there are four stakeholders that we can see. Of course, there's parents, there's the employers, the students, and also the teachers. So for parents, we wish our kids to go to education to get really a good education. And I think after the various AI winters in the past, like, we have really, as a society, crossed a big chasm. Mm. And AI has now become relatively mainstream. And it is our intention really to get the children of the next generation to be future ready, which means being able to embrace this tool of generative AI. I think for employers as well, I mean, ultimately, they are the ones that will be hiring our students. So we want these corporations to be also future ready. And I think in the beginning, you talk about Microsoft Word and Excel. These are all great tools. Now we have an additional tool, which is OpenAI. And this is probable to bring excellent productivity improvements to organizations. And it will be able to unlock the amount of value that each employee is able to bring. Of course, there are students as well. So in fact, my students just shared with me that ChatGPT is a tool that they use all the time. And we also encourage them to embrace the use of this new technology. But the challenge comes in this. Recall that earlier in this conversation, we talked about Microsoft Word, whereby now ChatGPT is the person that writes documents, and we become the spell checkers. We become the people that do the sanity checks. So the critical thing is that the students must be able to do the sanity checks. So let's say if you use Ask ChatGPT to generate something like a travel itinerary, you must be the person to go in to check that the itinerary actually works. Mm. If you ask ChatGPT to do something on copywriting, you have to be the person to look through the copy to make sure that everything makes sense. So this is where the sanity checks comes in.
So it's not an autopilot situation.
lots to look forward to on this space. Well, thank you, Donnie, for your insights. I've been speaking with Associate Professor Donnie So, Program Leader of Bachelor of Science for Applied Artificial Intelligence at the Singapore Institute of Technology. Donnie, it's been great chatting with you today.
Thank you for having me on.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.